I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Ola, it's Miles. How about this? Maybe you'd like to hear more of The Men's Room.
I know. You can't get enough of us. Subscribe to The Greatest Story Never Told on radio.com.
This is The Men's Room.
Forget it, man, and get with the countdown. Shake this square world and blast off for Kicksville. The drippers, the grasshoppers, the hip ones, all gathered in secrecy and flying high as a kite.
You're listening to The Men's Room with Miles and Thrill.
844-999. Hold up.
Who's our next contestant ready to play the game known as Big Dummy?
Still have Jason on the line.
Oh, Jason, that's right.
I'm still here, bud.
Okay.
We're just hoping you'd hang up, but here you are. Damn it. All right, here is your question. Are you familiar with John Tesh?
Not really.
Oh, man. Okay, look. John Tesh does radio shows around the country. You got to check this show out. All John says are facts. I'm John Tesh. Palm trees sometimes exist at the beach. We'll be right back.
Right, like that's his game.
Like, some balls are round. I'm John Tesh.
And I think he used to host Entertainment Tonight or something.
Yeah, he was the host of Entertainment Tonight.
Okay, that's
and he's also a musician.
Is he a pianist?
Yeah, he's something.
Or like keyboard. I think he does more. Whatever the case, it actually goes back to his music. And believe it or not, as much as we like to poke fun at the guy, he's done a lot of very significant stuff. Including, he wrote the theme song for what major network? My man's getting paid.
Not only that, his show is hugely syndicated.
He did the theme for the
major network.
What major network did he do the theme song for?
How about a CBS?
Nah, NBC.
Ah!
Question five, Jason.
I'm also going to point out he also wrote the theme song for the NBA. That's what he's doing.
I like that one.
That's John Tesh, baby. Palm trees are plants. All right, your song, your question.
I'm John Tesh.
That's how we should end everything.
People like fried chicken. We'll be right back.
I'm John Tesh.
He just makes random statements that are facts. That's all he does.
They get paid.
That's amazing.
In fact, what we should do is listen to his show and then come up with big dummy questions based on, on what he's informed
he's
us
laying,
of.
Laying down some real knowledge there.
Multiple choice question. There's about 82 million Korean people in the world, but all of them use just 250, 350, or 500 last names.
350.
I guess 250. 250.
82 million people, 250 last names.
Question six there, Jason.
Sorry?
You're on question number six.
I mean, it's a Smith. I respect it out of the Koreans.
Yeah, you're a Smith.
Right.
I'm sure you, the Joneses, the Johnsons, all like, yeah, I get it. All right, believe it or not, John Lennon took a 5-year break from writing music after his son was born in 1975. He was inspired to get back in the game after he heard a song from the B-52s, the Go-Go's, or Bananarama.
B-52s.
There you go, Jason. Rock Lobster, down, down. What was the B-52 song?
Rock Lobster.
It was Rock Lobster.
I swear to God.
Huh.
He liked how it sounded. Okay. That's what got him back. So
I was
the famous
in bed
Beatle.
Then I heard Love Shack Baby.
Love Shack Baby.
I should write again because the current state of music sucks.
I'm driving a car. It's as big as a whale. And it's about to set sail. I like what you did there.
Gave
Let
us
me get back in the game.
Right. Game is Big Dummy, 844-999-OLA. Who, I think that was after he passed on. Who is our next contestant ready to play the big game?
That song, I will admit, as a child, was very hard to understand. It's like, who are these people?
Right, if you see the
like,
video.
The blonde lady was kind of hot.
Right,
I remember
right.
that. Like, but I was just like, what is this music?
And then there's this guy who I maintain is probably one of the luckiest people in music. And look, he wrote some good songs. That's not that. But his voice, he never really sang. He just
talked.
He was like a silly, he was like a vaudeville sideman. Love Shack Baby!
He was like a hype man.
Hey!
Hype man for a punk band.
Big as a whale! Like
Red Lobster! I mean, down!
Like,
down.
How's this guy getting paid?
Down!
Cheddar Biscuit!
How was he in the band?
Gave his big dummy 844-99 Planet Claire! 999 Ola.
Money shot right there. Hello, Daniel. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hello.
Daniel, how are you?
Doing good. How about you?
Doing well. Not sober, sober, Daniel.
I'm sober. I'm up on ladders today.
All right.
I give a shout out to Kitsap County.
Okay.
I'm the owner of Amazing Grace Painters.
Oh, nice. Amazing Grace?
That's a
hell of a perfect.
Okay, here we go. The song plays every time you have sex for the rest of your life. Do you want to be a Sarah McLachlan angel? Barney, I love you. Clapton, Tears in Heaven, or Jesus Loves Me? I think you got to go
Tears in Heaven, Clapton.
All right. It's just, it's an onslaught.
It's so wrong.
But he's killing it. I mean, he's
no pun intended. This is horrible.
When you go to your job, man, do you have like a work shirt?
Yes, we do.
I think yours should say wrench.
Say what?
Wrench.
Wrench?
Well, it's Amazing Grace Painters.
All right, I got you. Okay, yeah. Okay.
Job, save me.
Okay. All right, here is your question. There are currently 26 letters in the English alphabet, but in the early, up until the early 1800s, how many letters were in the English alphabet?
I'll say 18.
24.
27.
Ooh.
So believe it or not, it came after Z, but the 27th letter is what we call the ampersand now. That's all it was. I don't know why they got rid of it, but we still use the symbol, but it was, in fact, the ampersand.
Okay.
Go figure. Which animal sleeps the cleanest? Humans, chimpanzees, or lions?
Sleeps the cleanest?
Sleeps the cleanest. Has the cleanest place to lay their head.
Oh.
What were the choices? Lions, humans?
And chimpanzees.
Chimpanzee.
What? Okay.
Right, they're always picking stuff out of each other's hair.
What's the science on this one?
It's just this, man. But before a chimp is going to go to sleep, it builds itself a new nest every day.
Oh, really?
Just period, right? So it might go back to the same spot, but whatever it laid in while it slept the night before, none of that is used or grabs fresh, whatever the hell it is. And lays it. See, with all the things that chimps do, this is an animal that will rip your penis and testicles off in a fight. It's an animal that will eat other chimpanzees just to prove a point, but when it comes to going to bed, they are exceptionally clean.
I mean, it takes a week or two for me to change my sheets. I think they need to lessen their footprint.
Yeah, but it's just straw and stuff. And, man, I did it last night.
What happened?
Just to clean my sheets. And then you, like, once a week, you kind of forget. And it's like, damn, this is nice.
No, yeah, really forget. Chimps don't forget.
The bed's made. It smells like downy. What a day.
See, chimps know.
Game is a big dummy. 844-999-OLA, who is our next contestant, ready to play the big game.
Can't believe more people don't use chimpanzees to push, you know, clean laundry. Take your seats. Hello, Chad. Welcome to the men's room. Hello, Ola. Chad. Hola.
Chad, are you sober or not sober?
Sober.
Sober, Chad, welcome to the show. All right, our men's room poll. This song is going to play every time you have sex for the rest of your life. And it's going to play the entire time you're having sex. Will that be Sarah McLachlan, Angel, Barney, I Love You, Eric Clapton, Tears in Heaven, or Jesus Loves Me?
Clapton.
Clapton.
Man, oh man. That's just so wrong.
Okay, my ass is black.
Your answer.
Oh, wrong game.
Yeah, right. Killing yourself, aren't you, Chad?
Yeah, he is.
We got the confirmation. All right.
Oh, boy, Chad, you got yourself one there, didn't you?
Is that a wife or girlfriend?
Wife.
Okay.
Oh, it's the wife, baby.
The wife, baby.
Yes.
All right. I want you to take a quick look at your wife.
25 lovely years.
25 years? Your voice.
Yeah, the lovely had so much sincerity, it's almost overwhelming.
That's right.
No wonder you picked Tears in Heaven. All right. Think about your wife.
I'm driving an 18-wheeler, and she has a hold of the wheel, so I got to be nice.
Okay.
All right.
And here's the question. Since your wife is there, the word compersion, it describes the happy feeling that people get when they see their significant other doing what?
Have an orgasm.
You were quick on that.
Be happy?
Laughing?
Eating.
Having sex with another person.
Oh.
Really?
That's what compersion
is. Oh, Jesus.
The happy feeling that people get when their significant other has sex with someone else. That's what compersion is.
Huh.
Oh, yeah.
That's an interesting divorce lawyer play.
Well, I'm a redhead. I love getting naked.
I bet you do. What's your name?
Laura.
All right, Laura. Laura and Chad.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Now I know, Chad, why you've been married for 25 years.
That's right.
Yeah, she likes being naked. Like, that's all you need, man. All right.
Easy in the head.
The Beastie Boys were originally a hard punk band with how many members?
Six.
Four.
Nope.
Oh! Way to go, Laura, from the...
Laura got it right. Believe it or not, they when they first started, the hardcore punk band had a female drummer.
Okay.
But it's a four-piece. And then they said, well, the name's Beastie Boys, and I guess they threw it.
Huh.
I don't know how it came to pass, but yes, they were the Beastie Boys of the female
game.
Okay.
Game is Big Dummy, 844-999. Ola, can we squeeze in one more contestant, maybe?
Sure. Hello, Taylor. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Taylor, you sober or not sober?
I am sober. I'm waiting for a ride home from work.
All right, cool, man. You just made it in, Taylor. You're going to be our last contestant.
I know. Thank God. I've been waiting on for like 50 minutes.
We appreciate it. Men's Room Poll. The song's going to play every time you have sex for the rest of your life. Sarah McLachlan, Angel. Barney, I Love You. Eric Clapton, Tears in Heaven. Or Jesus Loves Me.
Probably Clapton.
Clapton.
I don't even know the song, so.
All right.
Well, I'll give you an idea. A comment came in and says, there's no way in hell I could do Eric Clapton, Tears in Heaven. We played that at my daughter's funeral.
Oh!
Oh,
see, it's never in a good spot.
You know what, man? Too real. Too real.
Hey, man.
Too real.
They don't play this at high school prom.
Why did you do that? All right.
They're just making
it. I get why they played it. Why did you tell us, man? Now I feel bad.
Because I had to see it. And I didn't want to feel the way I feel alone.
No, you want
to
share
I'm not going to lie to you.
Share the sadness.
That is 100% why I told you that. I came out. I felt like crap. All right, believe it or not, daylight savings time was actually repealed in this country for a while. But then, as the event of what war did daylight savings time come back to haunt us? We'd gotten rid of it, and then a certain war broke out, and they decided to bring it back to conserve energy.
Europe?
What war? Europe was involved.
What war?
Yes.
World War One.
World War II.
It wasn't Europe.
Damn,
though.
I was going to say that, but I decided to switch it up.
Well, they actually repealed it after World War One, and then... Oh, looks like we're out of time.
We're out of time.
If you wait on hold until next week, we promise we will put
we'll
you
to question
stuff.
Number two with Taylor. You are listening to the Men's Room Radio Network.
This is the Men's Room with Miles and Thrill.
Head chef on the way, Ted's Meat and Potatoes has some surprising foods admitted right here in the good old U.S. of A. But first time for a few emails in the men's room at mensroomlive.com.
You've got mail.
As we jump right into the birthdays, liquor and horse gentlemen, today my grandson Eli James has started his journey around the sun on this day at 11:43 a.m. I would like a little kid fish sandwich and an Allen Thicke lookout. And maybe Thrill shouting, Eli James. Thanks, guys. That from Grandpa Pat.
Fish sandwich.
Uh-oh, look out.
Eli James!
Macholas, Eli. Love you. And your show, you guys are freaking hilarious. It's my best friend Andrew's 24th birthday today. Gonna get some turtle wax with a bong rip in the paws. Thanks, and keep on rocking, bitches. That from Cruise in Tacoma. Guys, going to give a birthday shout-out to my brother, Tim. He's a truck driver and listens to your show every day. If possible, let him know it's from Daniel. Thanks. Can we let him know it's from Daniel?
Hey, dude, this is from Daniel.
All right, it's from Daniel. Aloha, bitches. I just want to wish my father-in-law, Ray, a happy birthday. If you could give him a suck-it-up cupcake and some turtle wax, that would be awesome. Mahalo, guys, from Cam.
So, suck-it-up cupcake!
You're on it. You're on it.
You got it, man. That was wild. Mm. Guys, can I get a birthday shout out for myself since no one else listens? I turned 25. Give me a big old Leroy Jenkins. Thanks, guys.
Let's do this. Leroy Jenkins.
My husband Kyle and I just got married in June, and today is his 25th birthday. He listens to your show all the time and got me listening as well. If you could, give him an original fish sandwich and some really, really dirty German talk. That would rock, guys. That from Jess.
Fish sandwich.
Yeah, for your birthday, we're going to rearrange the alphabet so that you are on a D.
Yeah, and after that, you can come over and I'll make you some homemade blutwurst. When I blurt out something, this is the worst thing I can think of. It's also a sausage.
Yeah. Birthday shout out for my boyfriend, Zach. Fish sandwich, please, and the dirty Germans, if possible.
Fish sandwich.
Yeah, tonight we go to a basketball game. You will sit courtside and watch my Magic Johnson.
Yeah, and then after that, I'll LeBron all over your body.
We call it LeBronzo.
Yeah.
Kobe. She'll get the beef.
Yeah, guys, please wish Sarah happy birthday. She's 28. She would love a little kid's fish sandwich. Thanks, guys. That from Lee.
Fish sandwich.
Gentlemen, I turned 28 today. It would make my day if I could hear turtle wax and the dirty Germans talking about landscaping in the sun. Thanks, guys. Love the show. That from Fantastic Mr. Fox.
Yeah, I do not know much about landscaping, but I know in the spirit of exploration, I have nicknamed my penis Leif Erikson. I'm hoping you can be a leaf blower.
Yeah, I love landscaping. It involves a lot of edging, and then at the end of the job, a lot of blowing. You got to get the grass off the sidewalk, Miles.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Totally. Guys, it's my wonderful husband's birthday. Can Scott J please get a smell it and a Ted Woo? Thanks, guys. Appreciate it. That from Trick.
Oh, one more time?
We need a smell it in a crowd. A Ted, Woo. You got to smell it in there?
Yeah, my
we
bad.
We need a woo. A Ted Woo.
We need a smell it.
And a Ted Woo. You got a Ted Woo? Who's got the Ted Woo?
Armageddon!
Smell it.
Armageddon's good too.
Got in there.
Birthday shout out to myself. Me and the baby girl share our second birthday together today. She's 2, I'm 31. How about the dirty Germans and maybe a baby fish sandwich for her, please?
Fish sandwich!
Yeah, who's the dirty German for? The 2-year older demand.
The 31-year-old.
Ah, that is good news, because tonight you're going to be like hot butter dipped crawfish, and I will suck your butt.
Yeah, we are dirty, but I am confused. This is a child and an adult. So I say happy birthday to both of you.
Guys and woman, I'd love for you guys to wish my awesome husband, Daryl, the Big D, a very happy 40th birthday, listening to you guys together for over 10 years. He would love for Ted and Thrill doing a little dirty German talk, liquor and whores, that from the lovely Jill.
Yeah, tonight you will call me Amazon because I'm going to deliver you a package.
Yeah, and you'll be shocked at the size of the river that flows out of me. You didn't know one man could produce so much.
Yeah.
Of? That's up to you.
Guys, long-time listener, it's my father's 52nd trip around the sun. He would love to request your penis is too small and a big old bong rip. Thanks, guys. Love the show. That from Doug.
Where did I put that?
Where'd you put your small penis?
Yeah.
Where's my small penis?
Mike, where's your small penis
Where did you put that, Mike?
Find your small penis, Michael.
Mike?
People want to hear your small penis.
It's really hard to find the small penis.
They have asked you to produce your small penis.
Oh, there we go.
That is Mike's small penis.
Right there. Very left it.
It is so teeny tiny, it is hard to find.
All right, guys, here you go.
Happy birthday to you, bitchy.
Yaws of Dirty Germans brought to you by Men's Room Original Sausage. Available through Uli's World Famous Sausage, mensroomlive.com, and other fine retailers. Mmm, Schweinefly.
Guys, who called the cops? I'm a mail carrier, and this happened a few months back. I was out on my route one day. Around noon, a cop stopped me and asked me if he'd seen a man with long black hair, a blue sweatshirt, and blue pants. Seeing as that almost perfectly described me in my uniform, I was slightly amused and said, no, I haven't seen anyone else like that. But that's not all. Later that day, in the same neighborhood, I saw a man with long black hair, a blue sweatshirt, and blue pants taking mail out of a box I don't think was his. So I called the cops as well. Hope you're all having a great one. Thanks for reading that from the Mexican mailman. as far as golf stuff. Howdy, guys.
Howdy.
Ted was talking about John Daly bringing his bus to the Masters, and Ted was not wrong. However, John also brings the bus to every tournament. It's just a thing he does. The ops people of the tournaments plan for it and provide power to the bus. At some tournaments, it's not uncommon for the party at his bus to last past midnight. Dude likes to party, and so does everyone who works in the background at golf tournaments. It's not just a party for him and his people. It's a party for everyone there, all the way down to the tournament interns. Cheers, guys. That from John the Jumbotron guy.
That's
who would know
cool.
that kind of thing.
That's
yeah.
great.
Yeah, I thought it was
cool.
just like random fans. That's awesome. Like the staff working gets a party with him.
Oh, what else we got here? As far as what happened when you were sleeping, guys, my boyfriend eats when he sleepwalks. I discovered it, so I overly duct taped my leftover Chinese or Mexican food containers so he could not figure out how to open them and would give up and then go back to bed. That from Allison.
Damn.
And bitches, as far as what happened while you were sleeping, like most of the stories, this took place during my party days living in New Orleans. And it's written there. At the time, I was working at a huge coffee chain that likes green. It wasn't unheard of for us to go out to the quarter at night and then go straight to work to open the shop. I guess these party ways finally caught up to me, though. One day, I decided to take a nap after work, and when I woke up, I felt so refreshed. I was like waking up in a Disney movie. Rubbed my eyes, stretched. I swear the birds were singing. Reached for my phone and had 45 text messages and 17 missed calls. Not a good sign. Number of texts wasn't too alarming because my friends were known to group text often. I started my voicemail, though, and it was work. I had slept through my entire shift the next morning. I think I had slept something like 17 hours straight. After calling into work to let them know I was alive, I enjoyed the rest of my evening with a quiet night in. Who dat? That from Lady Bear Jenna. Who listens on the bayou down in New Orleans.
Hey, that's pushing it. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, we partied every night, and then one day you just fall asleep for 17 hours.
17 hours, yeah.
Unbelievable.
That she was refreshed.
Time to open wide and sample Ted's meat and potatoes. Now, here's your host, head chef of the men's room, the Ted Nugent.
Woo! Thank you, folks. Good to see everybody out here.
I think everybody enjoys some ethnic cuisine from around the world.
People love Chinese food, Mexican food, Thai food.
British specialties like fish and chips.
And, British specialty.
Yeah. I don't really know what else they are you having
know
trouble again there, Miles?
The one thing people
it's
like.
It's gone.
It's gone.
Damn
it's
it.
It's gone.
Don't worry, they fixed it.
No, is it gone?
Yeah, it's gone. We can't hear you. They told us yesterday they fixed it. You're good.
That's all right. And it's gone.
Shepherd's pie.
No, it didn't go.
Shepherd's pie? That's shepherd's pie is very good. I always think of that as an Irish, though.
Is it?
Yeah.
I really don't know, man. I just know it's UK savvy, and I was there, well, years ago. All these guys were trying to get me to try it. No, thank you.
I love shepherd's pie.
I just don't get it.
Yeah. Well, it's got a layer of mashed potatoes on top.
Man, look, everything about it sounds fine. I don't know, man. It's just something about the meat.
I know, there's peas and corn in there.
That does not help.
I feel like that's an Irish standard, too.
What, peas?
Peas and corn.
Oh, they love peas
in the
UK, man.
They show up at pot pies. They show up at a lot of places.
They'll give you mushy peas. They'll get, like, you order food, and they hand you a ramekin of mushy peas. And like, other than babies, and they don't request it, it's just what they get stuck with. Who the hell wants mushy peas?
Yeah, you know
it's
what?
A side dish. It doesn't make sense.
I do. Look at that. Mike's working on the mic as we're doing this. Well, he's got to turn it back on.
Oh, I blew on it.
Oh, there it is.
You blew on it. It worked, Mike.
Golly,
man, Miles
amazing.
Is back, and people are like,
yeah. Oh, back to that again.
Yeah, well, we're doing man. Much better. Yeah,
I missed that comedy for the last 3 weeks.
Woo!
Woo, there we go.
I like mushy peas because I like a pie.
Come on.
That was great.
You have a pie, man. They're good. All right, let's see. Now, we're talking about foods. You wouldn't guess we're American. Number one, this one will not shock you. I think most people know this by now. But the fortune cookie.
Yeah. Knew that one.
San Francisco.
California.
That's
correct.
I
was tweaking a Japanese recipe, but basically the guy had a tea house. He invented it in 1914. That's amazing. Yeah.
It does have a very unique flavor to it.
I say this every time, and I like
vanilla?
Salty and sweet. People think I'm crazy. But if you have some leftover rice with some soy sauce, crack open the fortune cookie, and then use it as a little scoop to get the rice.
Okay.
Oh.
I can see what you're saying. Okay. I will say this. The fortune cookie, to me, it qualifies less as food and just more as something that is edible.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's if I don't, like, if the kids are like, can I have your fortune cookie? Like, yeah.
Numbers again.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah, dude.
Numbers again. All right. This probably won't blow your mind that garlic bread isn't actually from Italy.
Does not shock me.
Can you guess what state we get it from? Now, think about garlic bread, right?
Jersey?
No. It's kind of a hearty thing. You eat it with a big thing. It's
Iowa.
All right, you're getting closer.
All right. So this is Middle
Ohio,
America?
Ohio? Michigan.
Okay. You know what? That does make sense at some level, right?
Yeah. One tale is that soldiers serving in Italy during World War II were spoiled on bruschetta, classic, you know, tomatoes and olive oil drizzled on there. So basically, when they returned home, they kind of wanted something, and they had garlic and margarine. They made garlic bread.
I'm glad that's what they had, man. I'm a fan of garlic
bread. I'm a big fan. I always wonder what that tub is in the deli where they have, like, you know, garlic butter spread for your bread.
Buy it.
Yeah, I know. It's just like, oh,
just make
man.
It a home.
Oh, dude, I've done it.
Yeah, it's
crazy. That stuff is good. It's so good that I think I bought one and then threw it out.
You need to.
What? Just because it was going on everything.
It's like, yeah, it's
well, why would you throw it out? It means you're enjoying it.
Because I was enjoying it too much. Like, turkey sandwiches don't need to be garlic bread toast sandwiches.
Yes, they do.
But when they can be, why not?
So good.
So Miles, good. This one's going to hurt.
Oh, no.
It's one of your favorite Mexican dishes, but it's not from Mexico.
The chimichanga.
The chimichanga,
oh,
man.
Oh, no.
Close, Arizona.
Love a chimichanga.
Several chefs claim the chimmy is theirs. Do you ever call it a chimmy? Let me get that chicken chimmy, dog.
No, I might go get one tonight. No, bring it up.
Can I have an American chimichanga, please?
1950. Basically, the one story is that the founder of El Chero Cafe fumbled a burrito into some frying oil.
And that's how it became.
And that's,
the
that's,
kids were around, so she didn't want to curse, and she screamed out, "Chimichanga!"
Are you serious?
I swear to God.
What does chimichanga mean?
She just didn't want to curse.
Oh,
because there was kids there, and she dropped a burrito in there.
That's how the chimichanga came to be?
That's one of the theories of how the chimichanga.
So the original name would have been the goddamn it.
Yeah, or the OS.
Yeah, mother effer.
German chocolate cake? Not from Germany.
No. Nine?
It's from the Northeast, though.
Massachusetts.
Massachusetts. Good call, Miles. Basically, he wasn't even German, but his name was. So he made this thing.
I'm not German. I'm allergic to chocolate.
Yeah. Right. And basically, he made it. His last name was German. Sounded German, right? He was working at the Boston Baking Company. A Dallas paper 100 years later in 1952 reprints the recipe for it. It's like, it's German chocolate cake.
And that's it.
Hmm. That's it.
So he never called it that, but the Dallas
But you can never make
did.
A dime off a recipe. That's the problem. Like, you could invent pizza or whatever, or the German chocolate cake, but unless you make it specific.
Right.
You
know, the recipe doesn't help you.
Right, the recipe
just make
should
it.
Be
That's why
yours.
The Colonel, like, to this day, KFC does not give out their recipe.
No.
It's locked in a safe.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's why we all know Bush's beans are safe now, as Duke's did.
That's right. Duke kept running his goddamn mouth.
He would ask me.
English muffins, not from England.
New England?
New York.
Okay.
You know what? That makes sense.
Or if you want to go old school, New Amsterdam.
But see, I can believe that, because the English love stuff like that.
Yeah. Just
dry, crispy bread products in the morning.
Samuel Bath Thomas. Thomas English Muffins.
Oh.
Originally called Toaster Crumpets. But
Toaster Crumpets.
Yeah.
You come on, brother. This is not Dr. Seuss.
I do like a Thomas's English Muffin. They're good.
Can you name another English muffin, Brad?
Franzia?
Yeah, whatever the local places okay. are. They're never that good, though. They're never as good as the Thomas.
You ain't no Thomas.
Also, for my preference, I mean, like, croissants are great, and I love croissants. Don't get me wrong. But if I'm going to eat a breakfast sandwich, I prefer it on the English muffin.
Me too.
Yeah, man.
Give me the croissant.
The Cuban sandwich.
Not from Cuba.
Not from Cuba.
I'll say Miami.
Is it even Cuban-inspired, then? At least.
It is. It is okay. From Florida. Now, there's some argument over, did it originate in Tampa or Miami? I would say Miami, probably on, what's that, 6th Street or whatever?
Yeah.
Yeah. but everybody agrees it was basically a cheap lunch offered to Cuban immigrants working in Florida cigar factories in the late 1800s.
You want a ham sandwich? You want a pickle on it?
Wouldn't you be kind of bummed out if you went to Cuba and they didn't have, like, a good Cuban sandwich?
They'd be like, what the hell are you talking about?
That's the one thing I eat all the time, and I thought it had your name on it.
There is a ton of pork, though, in Cuban food.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah.
But I had a buddy.
This is like ham, right? And then
yeah. Well, it's ham, and there's like a piece of pork loin on there, too.
Yeah.
They
right,
double
right.
it up. Yeah, I had a buddy that quit eating pork for like a year.
Okay.
Then he went to Cuba.
Uh-oh. And it all ended.
It all ended.
He didn't have a choice.
Thrill, you know this one. This one isn't that shocking. French dip sandwiches.
Yeah, but come on.
Right. Not I from mean, France. It's from California.
Like,
but
on.
The inventor of the sandwich is French. The creation of the sandwich happened, you know, in American soil. what's it, Felipe Matthew?
Sure. You're asking us?
He opened a deli and sandwich shop in L.A. back in 1800. I've always heard that one of the things was they just made the cup of, like, blood juice and happened to dip it in there.
That's exactly. I mean, that's all it is, right?
I'll tell you what, any hot sandwich, man, if you got, if you can, get the au jus. I found that's a good
absolutely.
Way to go.
One quick question. In there. Is it safe to assume that anything that has French in front of it, if we if we eat it here, is not French?
Well, like toast, French fries, right?
Right.
I mean, truthfully,
French bread.
But French fries are Belgium, be a pommes frites. We didn't even get the area country right.
Doesn't matter.
Why don't we call them Belgium? We call them French fries.
Right. Oh, we got Belgian waffles.
We do have Belgian waffles. It's the best waffles.
The best.
I love them. General Tso's chicken.
Yeah.
It's not from China. It's from New York City.
General Tso, is he a real guy? Is he a real general?
I don't believe
so. The dish
so.
Is named after a Chinese statement named General Tso Sing Dong.
I bet you nailed that.
You did that with the accent and everything.
It sounded close.
You
right?
Did it right.
I'm sure if you speak Chinese, that was offensive, and I apologize, but I thought I was
close.
Oh,
you probably nailed it.
I would say that you said it's from New York City. Miles, you probably agree with this. It would have been General Tso's.
General Tso's.
Tso's got great chicken. Sometimes the soup is cold, but the chicken is great.
This is the one that kind of blew my mind the most. Russian dressing. It's not from Russia. It's from New Hampshire.
Oh, no.
Yes.
God damn it.
The last one.
I bet there's
the
not
list.
A thousand islands in either.
Pasta Primavera. It's from New York City.
Oh.
Still delicious.
I mean, it is.
Thank you, head chef. There you go. Damn. Wow. Nothing else.
All of your ethnic favorites.
These Russian dressings, not even Russian.
You are listening to the Men's Room Radio Network.
Hola, bitches. You're listening to the Men's Room.
Coming up, we will drink, we will toast. The shot of the day is moments away, but first, our own Steve the Thrill Hill combs the globe.
Kicks it.
Looking for stories with headlines and screams.
Well, no, Sherlock.
Ambien maker to Roseanne. Racism, not a side effect of our drug.
No, Sherlock.
Yeah, they tweeted that out immediately.
That'd be such a fantastic, just to sneak it in, right? Because you watch these late night ads, whatever your problem might be, right? And then there's 30 seconds of side effects. Just sneak it in and see if anyone notices, because we're used to hearing the stuff. You know, a small occurrence of stroke, blood clots, racism, blah, blah, blah.
But
blah, blah,
here's
blah.
The ironic part. It does cover everything else of those disclaimers. It's just strange that that isn't involved in it,
because
there's so much other stuff that is.
Well, to be fair, right, if Roseanne is one of their case studies, because that's how they figure out what the side effects are, should they now include that? A low occurrence of racism. Mm-hmm.
And late night
it might cause all these other stuff, but a low occurrence of racism. We covered this yesterday, but it's worth repeating. Don't toast marshmallows on Hawaii volcano.
Gee willikers, are you kidding? I cannot believe it. No sh**. Sherlock.
The reason that's so irritating is because we all understand why that headline came about.
Because someone.
I think multiple people did.
Oh, I'm sure. And you had to say, like, geez, we actually have to issue a warning.
Yeah, all kinds of stuff.
What did you read today? What did they say? Like,
kebabs.
Hawaii's lava
it's
is
getting
like,
hotter.
But I'm like, but even at its coolest, not a good idea. We continue.
Yeah, how hot's this lava going to get?
How does it get hotter?
Right, you're already pretty hot.
Study says teens exposed to more junk food ads eat more junk food.
Oh, no, Sherlock!
Everybody got to do a study. That's the point of commercials.
That's the point of all advertising. So any advertisers on the show, you're probably happy to hear that. What do you know? It works.
I'm just wondering if I'm part of this demographic that they're also targeting somehow.
What do you mean?
Well, we all love junk food.
That is correct.
Yeah, to some degree. So, I mean, I'm curious what the kids like that I don't know about. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm kind of old school in the way that I eat my junk food.
Right. I think maybe they have more options, right? So when we're growing up and we're their age, basically, there were the big three, man. Mm-hmm. There was Burger King, McDonald's, Wendy's.
Yeah, I'm even talking about, like, chips.
But now I'm saying, but even stuff like Jack in the Box, that's a whole new world. Sonic is a different universe than we had. And again, when we were growing up, Doritos originally
didn't have any dust.
They were just Doritos.
They were dustless.
They were corn chips. And when they introduced nacho cheese, man, I'm telling you, it was a paradigm shift in your chip eating habits.
That's how you can really blow parents' minds or kids' minds. You're like, it's like, I used to walk 4 freaking miles.
We got Doritos.
We had Doritos with no dust on them. Oh my God.
They were just corn chips.
Just plain old chips.
Nacho came along and game changed.
And you got up to change that channel.
Mm-hmm.
But Doritos, I'm pretty sure, are just like genetic, or not genetically, just in a lab. So he's like, yo, we're going to make these Doritos.
You forget, though, man. When you get, like, a really good, just plain chip, how good it is. Like, just a regular old Lay's chip.
It is.
Yeah, honestly.
Oh, look, but are we talking chips?
No.
Yeah, sorry, food, sorry.
Lack of paid sick leave increases poverty.
Really? Well, no, Sherlock.
It also increases medical care costs and use of welfare.
And sickness at work.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Swedish law. Apparently, they're ahead of the curve on this. Swedish law declares sex without consent is rape.
Oh, no, Sherlock.
Get those Swedes. They're on it, man.
Catching up with
us. Good Lord. All right, let's see. What else we got here? I love this one. South Carolina candidate. Never thought blackface photo would, quote, have negative connotation.
Well, what do you know about that? No Sherlock!
Thank you, Steve Bobbin, and we made it to drinking time.
Somebody out there deserves to be recognized. And the men's room knows just who it is. So to you, we say, bottoms up, sailor. You're the toast of our shot of the day.
Drink time it is, and as usual, we head to the drink desk and Steve at Thrill Hill to find out who we're toasting.
Yes, indeed. And Miles, this one is going to hit close to home for you.
Boy.
All right, today we toast 61-year-old Charlotte Fox. Now, if her name sounds even vaguely familiar, it might be because, believe it or not, she is the first woman to climb three mountains of an altitude of 8,000 meters or higher. So what's that, 24,000 feet
or higher, however
the hell that works out. Now, she also made headlines in 1996 after a tragedy on Mount Everest. Now, she was one of many climbers that was attempting to descend from the summit when they became caught in a blizzard, led to some avalanches, etc. Eight climbers died, but not Charlotte. She said she thought she was going to die. She hoped the end would come swiftly, but she managed to survive. And her survival, actually, part of the subject of the book, Into Thin Air.
Krakauer.
What is it?
John Krakauer, I think.
That's the author, right. Yep. Well, in spite of her climbing prowess, Charlotte died last week after falling down her stairs at home.
Oh, no.
Oh, dude.
She has gone up mountains. She survived a blizzard on Mount Everest, which for my money sounds like one of the worst possible scenarios I could be in. Right? Even on a good day, climbing Mount Everest apparently is bad.
And that isn't even the most dangerous mountain that she climbed.
Right.
Just dangerous circumstances.
But she fell down. Yeah, she fell down her stairs at home and died.
Wow.
Can you believe that?
Wow.
Can you believe it?
No, I cannot.
One of her boyfriends died in 93 in some kind of climbing mishap.
That makes sense.
Her husband died in like 98 or 2000. He was a paraglider, I want to say. He crashed. So, like, everyone that she's involved with does these extreme things, and they cannot believe, like, all of her friends, like, but we cannot believe.
She fell at her home.
At home down the stairs. So we pour this booze and we drink this booze because we think it's yummy.
Yummy!
So over the tongue and down the throat to party in our tummies. Down the hola, bitch hola!
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.